fullness of God working, walk in love. Do nothing else. If you don't do anything else in your life, walk in love. If you walk in love, you're walking hand in hand with Jesus. If you walk in any other way than love, you will actually invite the enemy into your life. Amen. That's the key. And once you've got love down, amen, that doesn't mean we have to like what people do. A lot of things I don't like, and a lot of things I do, I know people don't like. That's praise God for that. That's the way it is. That's who I am. We were listening the other day, and it came to me. Everybody's different. Everybody in here is different. Amen. You understand? And God never created you to be like everybody else. You understand that? God wants you to be who you were created to be. God doesn't want you to become something you weren't. But what he wants to do is take that which he created you to be and perfect it so that it's pure. In purity, there's no impurities. That way, it can't mess you up. Amen? And understand, the purifying work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He said you're washed in the Word. He said the Holy Spirit is a fire who comes down and purifies us. And it takes time at times. How many of you know that? And sometimes God allows us to go through things we don't want to go through because it brings a purity in us of a desire to be with him. Whenever the nation of Israel or anybody that truly, let's use the nation of Israel because God uses them as our example. Remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 10, I think it is? He said, I gave you these things as examples what not to do. Amen? So we look back there, we see what happened. But every time, and I think Wanda alluded to it, Diane's with love and so on. Every time when the people messed up, when they cried out to God, God heard them and came and delivered them. Yeah. Every single time. You don't have to be fearful. Oh, but I tried, it didn't work. Understand this. God is not motivated by your need. He's motivated by your faith and love.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now listen. When God sends his grace, grace will deliver you out of everything. You understand that? Grace is what defeats your enemy. Grace is what changes you and transforms you so that you love God more than you love self. The biggest problem this world has today is the love of self. We love ourselves more than we love him. So we're motivated and all our lives are orchestrated to fulfill the love of self. Right?
Amen.
Come on now, let's be honest with ourselves. The only problem we have between relationship is because self wants their way. In the church, in the home, as long as I get my way, well, that leaves no way for God to move. Amen? There leaves no way, because if we're forcing our way into the situation and our whole desire is for us to have what we want, somebody once said to me, doesn't God want us happy? No. Happiness comes through things. I eat a hot dog, I get happy. Then I get sick, but first at the moment... The Bible says all sin is good for a season. It tastes good for the moment, but when the second time you eat it, it doesn't taste so good. No, I'm not talking about, come on now, use your, okay. But listen, once we come to an understanding that just, and you know what I call sin? I had this a long time ago. Remember? Self-indulgence now. That's what sin is. All you can think about is me. A lot of people go and follow Christ because they think all he's going to do is meet what they want and do what they want. They never think to ask, what do you want? Once you get to a place you have been delivered from self and all you can think about what he wants, you start to see what you want come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. It is. It does work that way. But we have to get over the fixation of us first. And that's a hard thing to do. I don't kid you. I struggle still with that stuff. But God's going to do it.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
There's a lot of people who have that problem. Religious people always think they've got to do something in order to get God to do what he said he would do. I'm going to understand something. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you something once with this message this morning. I called it His Calling, Your Calling. His calling, your calling. Remember what he said in Ephesians 1? He said this. He said, Father, open the eyes of their understanding so that they would know what is the hope of their calling. How many know you got a calling?
Amen.
Your calling isn't just your calling. It's the calling for all people. Amen. Everywhere. Do you know back in Hosea, God says, I'm going to call a people who are not a people. God had already said back in the Old Testament, and we know by the writings in the New Testament, that it just didn't happen then. It actually happened before the foundation of the world, that you were called. You weren't called because you made a decision for Christ. The decision for you to be with Christ was made before the foundation of the world. I know you guys are getting confused here. Wait a minute. Hang in there. Amen? I can show you scriptures on that, by the way. So don't, you know, we got to fight. You got to fight with not what you think, but what the Bible says. All right? Because we all want to think that we have a big part in this walk with Christ. How many of you know he's called the potter? And we're the clay.
Amen.
Who shapes the clay? This clay doesn't shape itself. Right?
Amen.
It's the potter's work.
Amen.
He brings the vessel just as he wants it to be. Right, Virginia? Sometimes when you work the clay, you mess up. Right?
Yes.
That's because you're human. That's because you're human. God doesn't mess up.
Hallelujah.
But sometimes the clay gets a crack in it. So he's got to do some more work on it. It's not perfect all the time when it first starts out because somebody drops a little too much of this and not enough of that. And God knows everything, what needs to be perfectly done. And he brings it into order, and he slowly, it can't be done quickly. Perfection does not come immediately. Perfection comes over a period of time of working the clay.
Amen?
Amen. I can take a thing of clay, and it's going to look like a thing of clay. Virginia can take the same amount of clay and work it with her hands, and it'll come out a beautiful vase. Useful. She knows what she's doing. I don't. You don't know what you're doing. He does. Amen? So stop working the clay yourself. Stop trying to get it right because you never will. And every time you get to that place, you think you just got it going just right, all of a sudden a crack appears, a mess appears. All of a sudden, there's things in my life I thought I dealt with eons ago through Christ, and it still affects me. And God said, don't worry, I'm not done yet. So I keep my confidence in God, not in me.
Amen.
Amen? I can look at Diane and say, she's not perfect yet. And God says, neither are you. So how can you look at her imperfections when you got imperfections? The only way I can see imperfections in others is when my eyes have been perfected to the point to be able to see them. Hasn't happened yet. The only one I know that happened to was Jesus. Because my eyesight is messed up with sin at times. Lust of the eye. So I'm looking at people, wanting them to be like me. Not like him.
Come on now. Come on. Come on.
Right? We're always looking for people to be like us. But what about the mess in us? You mean you want him to be just like the mess in us? No, we want to be like him, because in him there's perfection, not in us. And so the master keeps working this clay. Oh, and this has got nothing to do with my message, but praise God, I hope you're getting it.
Yes.
Amen? So let's go on. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Look. Hallelujah. Never mind. I don't know. Hang on. I got to know what to do. All right. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go into the message. Ephesians 1, 16 through 21. I'm going to read it. This is our base scripture. We've gotten partway through it. I do not, he said, cease to give thanks for you. Paul is writing, speaking to the Ephesian church. Making mention of you in my prayers. I hope you pray for each other. Hope you pray for the body of Christ here. I really hope you do. Your prayers are important. Here's what God told me. He said, Dave, stop praying for yourself and start praying for others. I can get so focused on self, I forget about everybody else. Amen? I can get focused on if I'm not feeling well. I can get focused on if I'm doing the wrong thing. I can get focused on dealing with my sins and dealing with my imperfections rather than praying for God, for people. He said, if you will pray for them, I'll take care of you. Amen? Amen? So you start praying for other people's needs to be met. Watch what happens. Oh, God will start meeting your needs so much so that you'll just sit there and go, woo. Woo. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. So just, amen. Okay. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, remember what I said about Christ, the anointed one, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, the Father of glory, hallelujah, where's the power? In the glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. If we ever get to that place where we know him, not just about him, to know him. And what he's saying, when you get to that place and you have such an intimacy with me, because when you start having intimacy with him, he starts having intimacy with you. You understand that? I don't understand that. Why does he have to? Because he said, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. The more intimate you become with me, the more I will become with you. Whew. Hallelujah. How would you like to be so caught up in him that you can't be touched? People begin talking about you. People can be doing things around you. The world can be going to... You're so caught up in him, you're not affected by any of it. You start to look at your job that you hate as something that is so wonderful. Why? Because all you do is have eyes for him. You can't see what you're going through. All right. Okay. Knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means all of a sudden, divine wisdom, revelation. All of a sudden I start to see it as God sees it. I'm starting to see things that I never could see before. I was caught up in, I can't stand her, I can't stand him. And all of a sudden I start loving everybody. Amen. Because I just see it the way God sees it now. There's been a light that went off. Listen to me. When you have problems with a brother or sister, there's such a darkness in you, you're in trouble. You understand that? If it's a brother or sister in Christ and you got a problem with them, you got such darkness in you, you can't tell the difference between night and day. Amen. If you have not the love of the brethren, you have not the love of the Father. Amen. The light brings revelation. Amen. That God loved them so much he sent his son to die for that person, and you've got a problem with him or her. That's what that light does. That's where the light, that relationship with God, all of a sudden comes to understand, oh, God loved them. Matter of fact, God loves them as much as he loves me. Isn't that amazing? And if God loved them enough to die for them, should I not love them enough to die for them also? How do I die for them? You die to self. So that your will is not being done. You're willing to sacrifice your will for their will. You know, you're getting to learn what the love of God is all about. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago, I haven't got there yet, guys. I'm working that way because of the grace of God, not because of me. God said, David, if you want them to live, you're going to have to die. I don't want to die. Die to self. You're going to have to give up all the things you love in the flesh. So sin no longer has power over you. Why? Here's what happens when we get to that place. You become a free, unencumbered pipe. And that pipe reaches up into heaven, and it's a free flow of living water that flows down through and right out of you into others. And that free flow of living water brings life. You understand it's the Spirit of God who brings transformation, healings, deliverances, provision, all the things, the free flow of the Spirit. And the more I'm concerned about self, it clogs up the pipe. The only thing that can do it is death to self. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what is the hope of his calling? That word calling, it means to invite to a feast. Something's happening. Something's happening. God's doing some things right now, I'm telling you. It's almost like we're right on the edge of expectation that God's going to do something. Something's happening. Maybe somebody's... Well, anyways. The calling. What is the hope that we have in that calling? The calling is an invitation to a feast. The Lord has said, I invite you to a feast. I thought about this coming in, and I was really just thinking on the Lord and thinking on this, and he didn't say, but this is what came to me. He said, do you really think that I'd invite you to a feast that wasn't good? Do you think I'd bring you to a feast of spoiled food? Do you think I'd do that? He said, when I invite you to a feast, everything I give to you is good. It's good for you. And it's a good blessing. It's all the good things of God has called us into. When he was talking about the calling, it isn't what you're supposed to do. It's what he's already done. He's already prepared the feast. He's invited you to it. Will you come and sit with him? Will you partake of his feast with him? Will you eat with him? Will you sup with him? Hallelujah. Something's happening. A lot of this stuff I haven't had until just now. The Spirit of God is speaking to us. Those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. It's not me, trust me. This isn't either. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cups run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to know something. You don't have a table prepared for you in heaven. You understand that? Because your enemies aren't there.
Amen. Amen.
That enemy is here. Mm-hmm. The devil's here. Yeah. What God is saying, I'm going to invite you to a feast at my table right in front of the devil's face. And he's going to look and he won't even be able to come and touch you.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm starting to... It's starting to get heavy. Hallelujah. I want you to know this. Let me back up there. What is the hope of his calling? He's doing the calling. He's doing the calling. We listened the other day with Kenneth Copeland, and he was talking about the healing. We were talking about faith. He was talking about faith. And he was explaining. He said, you must understand that the covenant that we have, that we are part of, did not come because we made a covenant with God. The covenant was between God and his son. We were asked to join through the new birth into the covenant. So every part of that covenant promise is established between the Father and the Son. So that means we can't break the covenant. When I heard that, I just went, woo! A light went off. Remember in lighting them? That light went off. All of a sudden I understood something. These promises that he made to us, this calling he has given to us, is anointed between the Father and the Son. Glory to God. God is doing the calling. You understand that? God's doing the calling. You're not. Amen? We're asking for things that God has already given to us. We keep begging for things that he's already said yes to.
Come on, come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. Listen to this. By whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus. God is faithful. And he said he's the one who called you into fellowship. In other words, he called you into the feast of fellowship with Jesus. If he called us, Father, if Father called us into the feast with his son, do you think the son would not spend time with us at the feast? You get it what I just said? See, I'm not trying to get you to say, okay, I know Jesus is with me always. In what capacity is he with you? There's a difference between Jesus being there when we're getting beat up by the devil and being there when we're sitting at the, right with him at the table, feasting with him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. One, we're saying, when are you going to do something? The other, we're saying, I'm at peace. God's working something greater than I've ever seen before. Remember, this is a God thing. Listen to this. When we understand the call of God on our lives, it will become a sure foundation for our full assurance. It is an objective saving work of God that overcomes everything in its path and creates what it commands. God's call comes with the power to do what it demands. God's call comes with the power to do what it demands. When God said, light be, the power was there to do what God called it to do. Okay? You grab that now. God never called something did he not send the power to produce what he called. Amen. When he came to Mary, he said to Mary, you're going to be blessed. You're blessed above all other women. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to become pregnant with a child. His name's going to be called Jesus. And he's going to save the world. Mary said, let it be done according to your word. And immediately as she spoke the word, the word was spoken, she accepted the word, the Spirit of God was right there to bring it to pass. 9 months later, it came to pass. It didn't happen exactly that moment, but it did come to pass.
Amen.
It was hundreds of years before when in Hosea he said, I've called a people who are not my people. And in the New Testament, hundreds of years later, it came to pass. For we are those people who were not called his people. There are things that God has spoken and they're coming to pass in my life. And I know in every one of your lives. It's coming to pass because God spoke it, and God will never speak something he didn't send power to perform. Get ready. Get ready. See, get ready. Get your basket. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. See, when you come to understand, God doesn't just speak words without sending power to get those words fulfilled. I sent my word. When he starts it. What did he say in Romans 4:17? I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me see if I can find it. Here. I got it in the Message. You got it in the King James or New King James or whatever. Unless you got a Message Bible. I got it the Message. I'm going to read this to you. You can follow. Just listen and then you can look at it later. We call Abraham father. Not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. Did you get that? But because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father. Because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyways. Deciding to live, and not on the basis of what he saw, he couldn't do, but what God said he would do. Remember, God said to Abraham, God said to Abram, he said, Abram means father. Then he said, for now on, I call you Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. Amen. But he wasn't even a father yet. How can I be a father if I don't have any heir? I'm really getting ahead of myself, but need to know that you are called. Abraham was called. He said he called him out of the air of Chaldees, out of his father's house, out away from his family. He called him out. And he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to make you a father. And he didn't even have an heir. Now, Abraham got smart, like all of us are. God said, I'm going to supply all you need. So we go get a credit card and go in debt. Right? That's what Abraham did. He took out a credit card and got in debt. We're still paying. He had Ishmael with the Hagar's, Sarah's maid. Because he chose to go his own way, because he listened to whatever reasons We all got reasons. Because he took out that credit card and put it on credit because God didn't seem to be doing what he promised. We're still paying the price for it. Many people are sick and weak and actually have died because they never understood what the hope of God's calling in their life was. Because they're doing it their own way. Well, it doesn't seem to be working, so we got to do it our way. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Now, the question you have to make up in your own mind is this. Am I called? Are you called? Are you a called one? Are you called? That, I mean, everybody's going to make their own individual thoughts about this because what you think about yourself is where you're going to be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he goes. The more you focus on self and your inability, your weaknesses, and your inescapable position you're in, the more you're going to focus and be like that person. So what you have to do is get to a place where you say, okay, I believe I'm called. Not only are you called, you're called out of and called into. Amen? Listen what he called you. See if I can find it. Yeah, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. God chose you. You didn't choose him. We've often talked about that. It's like being, you know, when you're a kid and you can't play the sport, and but you're with all the other kids, and those kids choose sides, and you never get chosen. You're the last one sitting there because you can't play very well, but you want to be around the other kids, and so you're more or less the last one in line, and you have to go, and then they put you way out in the outfield, way, way out there. Go, about 5 blocks from where the game's playing, so you can... You know, you don't mess up and miss the ball or something. And so many of us, you know, have been in that position. You know, it just seems like we were the leftovers. Well, that's who God chose, by the way, the leftovers. Amen. The ones who love this life, they don't want anything to do with him anyways. But anyways, that's another whole story. But you are a chosen generation. God chose you. Not because you were the best or the smartest or the most pretty. Nor the best player at this game. Do you know what God... Well, that's another... We'll get there yet. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Amen. You're special.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
See, I think you got to see yourself that way.
Oh, yeah.
I used to tell people all the time, when you walk into a room, tell them the gift's here. What is the gift? Not you. You're bringing Jesus into the room.
Amen.
You're the gift bearer. But you're saying the one who's bearing gifts is here. Amen. And I'm bringing Jesus into this situation. I'm bringing Jesus into our relationship. I'm bringing Jesus into that area.
Hallelujah.
And once you bring that in, watch what happens.
Amen.
A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Death and disease, sin and death, all the dark things of this world, you're no longer part of that. All around you, what did he say? 1,000 may fall at my one side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. All that junk can be going on around us, but it ain't going to come near me. Zika, yeah, you can have that Zika disease out there, but it ain't going to come near me.
Hallelujah.
You understand? You've been chosen.
Thank you,
to go and have a feast with Jesus. And in his place where he is, there's fullness of joy. All the things that you desire in life are there.
Thank you.
But you got to see yourself there. Remember what I told you before. The Word of God paints a picture. That picture, what you have inside of you, becomes who you are. And it'll determine where you go. You understand? You got a GPS working in you. God's power. GPS. God's power.
Very good, Pastor.
Oh, wait a minute. There you go. Okay, got you. God's power, saint, is working in you. GPS.
Give me five.
You understand? We make a joke of it, but it's true. There's a GPS inside of you called the Holy Spirit who wants to lead you and guide you into all the fullness of God.
Hallelujah.
Because in that fullness, you're going to see the fullness of your desires met. And listen to me. In the end, when you finally get to that place and that transformation happens and you stop taking selfies of self, because you're taking pictures of who you are at this point and you can't see where God's trying to get you to. Spiritual selfies. You want to take a camera and you want to make a picture of where you're going? Right here. Paint it with this. Stop looking at circumstances. Stop looking at your flesh and stop looking at your whatevers. That is not where God wants to take you. That is not where it's going to end up. That is not what it's all about. Now, the length of time it takes you to get from point A to point B is entirely up to you.
Yes.
The more you kick against the goats. Do you know that Paul, when Paul finally got a hold of Paul, he had to set the light, and the light just blinded him? When God finally got a hold of him, you know, Paul wanted to get a hold of Paul back with Stephen. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to wait till then to get him. And don't be surprised if you're going about your own business and you're walking down the street and all of a sudden a big bright light comes and all of a sudden, bam, you're blinded to everything around you. And that light goes off in you. And you say, oh, man. Whew. That's what happened to me. I didn't go looking for Jesus. He called me. I didn't want anything to do with this. He called me. When he called, a light went off. I thought, yeah, yeah, that's right. I've been going my own way for so long. It's hard to make that switch. Only God can do it. You understand? Only God can do it. No matter how hard I tried to be religious, which I never did, because I didn't think about anything religious, I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. But I didn't know anything about him. Amen. So you're a chosen people. Amen. You're called with a holy calling. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Isn't that good news? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God called you for his purpose. Get that. Get it. Get it. God's called you for his purpose. Yeah, but I thought I was called so I can get him to do something for me. There's a ton of things God wants in your life. All of them good. But not for you.
Amen.
For his purpose. He said to the nation of Israel, I called you not because you were the biggest, not because you were the best, not because you were the smartest, not because of any of this. He said, I called you so that I could show my power in the earth. Why? Because he has purpose to save other people. God wants the goodness of God in your life so you become a beacon for others to know him.
Amen.
Because he wants them saved.
Amen.
Just as he saved you.
Amen.
It's when you finally come and go, Father, not my will, but your will. We always equate that with Jesus in the garden, which is absolutely true. And then he went to the cross, and nobody wants to go there. So they'll go, my will, but not your will, but they don't want to go to the cross where he told you to pick up your cross daily and follow him.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, the first part of that was deny self. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Still love me? All right. God called you. I want to finish this. Give me a few extra minutes today. God called you Now, what did he call you? Guess what? He called you healed.
Amen.
Did he not? He said you were healed. That means he called you healed before you were born. So who told you you're not? He called you rich before you were born. He became poor that you may become rich. So he called you rich. Who told you you're not? Amen? He called you saved and redeemed. Who told you you weren't? Saved is not just about going to heaven. Saved is being delivered out of the darkness into the light. It means out of sin and death into health and life. An abundant life. Who said you're not? You get it? God called you out of something into something. And the devil's been telling you all along that you're not. And you said, God, you must be a liar because I believe the devil. You didn't say it that way because you're afraid to. If you were, why you keep asking? If you are, why do you feel like you're not? What are some of the things he said? He said, you're prosperous. You understand that? You're prosperous. You're rich. I already said that. How many know that he said you're blessed? Listen, let me explain something to you. You cannot be blessed and cursed at the same time. Remember when the prophet, they came to the prophet and said, I want you to go curse Israel. He went to try to curse. He said, I can't curse that which God blessed. If God blessed you and called you blessed, then you cannot be cursed.
Amen.
Who told you you are cursed? If you don't know what blessing and curses, go to Deuteronomy 28 and read up on it. Deuteronomy 28, go back there. He'll tell you what the blessing and the cursing is like. Amen? He said, you're holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. You know what he's saying, don't you? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. You understand, holy just means separated unto God. For his purpose. You are holy. Well, I don't act holy. It doesn't matter. God said you're holy, then you're holy.
Amen.
Holy Spirit can't live in someone who is not holy. When you start saying and confessing, I'm holy because he is holy, the Holy One dwells within me, you'll start acting as if you are holy.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but I don't always... You don't always act... No, I don't. But I am.
Amen.
I haven't, but I will. What else did he say? I just wrote a few of these. There are many more that I don't... He said, you're righteous. He said, we cannot be saved with our own righteousness. The righteousness we're saved by is the righteousness in God and Christ Jesus. We have taken on, when we took on Christ, and Christ took us on, actually, we also took on his righteousness, and he took on himself our unrighteousness. That means right standing with God. How many know God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? Hallelujah. Yeah, but you don't know what I said. You don't know what I think sometimes. You don't know what that... It doesn't matter. Because it's not based on what you've done. It's based on what God did through his son Jesus.
Amen.
You understand? You're trying to lift a 5,000-pound dumbbell when God says, dumbbell, I'll lift it. Right? We're all trying to lift this holy act up. No! Once you understand that you are holy because of what Christ gave to you through his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, I give you my holiness.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. He called me holy when I was yet a sinner. Because he knew I was going to be holy. Oh, God. He calls us sanctified. Hallelujah. That means he's dealt with all those issues in my life that I think I was trying to deal with. And I keep crying about and keep going to God about and all this. And finally, what most people do, they just give up and walk away. They just give up and walk away. I'm not going to do that. There's coming a time when God's going to bring back his children. There's coming a time when backsliders will be back in the body of Christ. Because they're going to find out eating with the pigs isn't much fun.
Amen.
They're coming back. Trust me when I tell you that. You'll see people you thought would never come back into the church because of all the things they've done and said. And God is saying, that's my work, not yours. It's me. Amen. Sanctified. Listen, he took you out of darkness into light. He took you out of death into life. God called you. And God did this for his purpose, not for yours. Listen to this. I wrote some reasons why he did these things. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As God works in you, as he called you into that holiness, perfection, he calls you into all those good things, all of a sudden you start bringing pleasure. What did God say to Jesus? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. As you start allowing, listen to what I say to you, allowing God to work those things out in you that he's already called you into. That's the good news about God. Not only does he call you, he does the work to get you to do it. We try so hard to be that good person. And I have found no matter how hard you try, all your works are like filthy rags. No matter how hard you try, you mess up. I never thought I would act that way. I never thought I would say that. I never thought, yeah, well, that's who you were. It's not who you are. Paul said it. It's not me. It's a sin that dwells in me that does those things. Glory to God. Listen, for his good pleasure. Exodus 9 says this. But I have raised you up for this very purpose. He's talking to us. That I might show you my power. And that my name may be proclaimed throughout all the earth. That is why. Listen, if you are bound with that same action of sickness and disease and poverty. And you're messed up in your mind and everything. You're no witness. You're so full of self and fighting those battles constantly over and over in self. You can't go tell people how good our God is. When you're walking around with holes in your shoes and there's holes in your pants. Yeah, okay, maybe God's called you into that for a season. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm going to tell you what. Every one of the prophets, everyone I ever saw in here that God had called, he always provided exceedingly abundantly above all they ask or hope for. Why? Because he had to release them from the cares of this world so he'd be focused on what God's got him to do and you can be a witness for him.
Amen.
Do you understand? It's for his purpose. That's why I believe so strongly in what he said to us about his provision, his protection, his love for us, his healing graces. Listen to this. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things. He's talking to God. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. God's got purpose for your life and nothing's going to stop it.
Amen.
He called you into this. He's going to finish what he's begun.
Thank you, Lord.
He will finish it. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God going to get his way.
Amen.
God going to get his way. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Meaning God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Oh, Lord, oh my gosh. It's so fun to hear the word of God. Set us free. Listen, why does God does not take back what he calls? Romans 11:29, the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. He does not take back what he called. He didn't call you for his glorious purpose to set you back and set you aside. He didn't. You may feel like it at times. You may think, gee, where is God in all this? Trust me when I tell you this. God is in all of this. Amen. Some things we bring on ourselves. Something God allows. Some things God's purpose. But God is in it all. In Psalm 118, 23 through 24 says this. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God has called you for his purpose, and he will finish the work to his glory. God loves you. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. And you can't understand. Some things were not meant to be understood. Just believed.
Amen.
So if God's taking you through some things, don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. God's taking you someplace. He's working something out far greater than what you can see now. Trust him. Remember what we said it was. It's just having certain confidence that God's working something out. You watch. Watch. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you I trust. Surely you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. You cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I take refuge. Your truth is my shield and buckler. Not afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday, nor the pestilence in darkness. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Not me. Not me. And you've got to come to that. Not me. Not me. It can go anyplace else it wants, but it ain't coming here. You understand? You got to get there. You got to get there. I was called of God. Devil, who do you think you are to come against God's anointed? Don't touch me because it's going to hurt you. You understand? When you come up today, you say, not me. Amen. Ain't going to happen in my house. Ain't going to happen in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Not me. God called me. God called those things into my life. God says that's who I am. And that's who I am.
Amen.
Not by my works, but by grace.
Thank you, Father.
Through faith. Amen. Activated by love. Remember this. You will never see the grace of God without the faith of God. And you'll never see the faith of God without love. If you're not operating love, faith doesn't work. If faith doesn't work, grace doesn't operate. Bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. We bless you and give you glory. Father, I thank you this morning that you have shown me so much that I have not seen. And there's so much ahead of us, Father God, that we've never heard of or never seen before. But it's all in your word. So we pray, Father, now, Father God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. So that our hope is in God, in Christ, in your word, not in us, in this world. We thank you again, Father, for our trust and confidence is in you. Oh, yes, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you again. And, Father, we come against any enemy who'd come and steal that word. We bind it right now. We bind it to our heart and we bind the enemy from operating against us. We receive it now, Father, as it produces the good fruit of the knowledge of our God. We praise you and give you glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you have any announcements, dear? Of my.